Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Agriculture Report and Science in the News, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. Today, we have something special for you. We will meet with some friends not far from the VOA studios and all together look up at the night sky in search of a wonderful machine far above us. Listen carefully. There is some important information near the end that you can use. You are listening to VOA.
Americans often watch television or go to movies or parties on weekends. But on a recent Saturday night, a few people met for an unusual activity at a public park in Bethesda, Maryland. A neighbor had invited them to watch the International Space Station pass overhead. The park had few lights to compete with stars and other objects in the sky. That helped make it possible to find the International Space Station just by looking up. No special equipment was needed. At the time, the space station was carrying 6 crew members. They represented the space programs in Russia, Japan, and the United States. 3 of the men returned safely to Earth not long after the sighting in Maryland. Ilya Kotov commanded the return trip to Kazakhstan. He is a pilot, an officer in the Russian Air Force, and a medical doctor who was born in Crimea. With him were Russian cosmonaut Sergei Ryazansky and American astronaut Mike Hopkins. 3 other men stayed on the ISS. 3 others joined them after leaving the Baikonur Cosmodrome on March 25th. Back in Maryland, the space station watchers gathered among children's swings and toy cars. They sought to identify the stars and planets in the clear night sky. One woman repeatedly looked at her wristwatch. "Hey, there it is," called a man. He pointed at yellow, red, and blue lights sailing through the night. But no, that was an airplane.
"Isn't that it?" cried another watcher.
She caught sight of a lighted object as it moved through the skies. No, that also was a plane. The woman worried that perhaps they had missed the sighting. Luckily, help was available. Retired television engineer Paul Montibovi served as a kind of guide and host for the Saturday night event. He has belonged for many years to one of America's largest amateur astronomy clubs. Mr. Montibovi owns 3 telescopes. He noted that the space station might look as if it were on the same level with airplanes. But he said it is really more than 300 kilometers up in the sky, and its light looks bright white. The ISS does not show up as the yellowish color of the stars and other objects in the sky.
It does look like an airplane, the difference being that the space station does not have flashing lights.
The Maryland Sky Watchers found the ISS by looking to the northwest and watching it move southeast. NASA, the American Space Agency, says that is not usually the case. But the space station's trajectories, the curved paths, differ. As promised, the station appeared at the predicted time. That night, it was first observed at 7:44 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and seen for about 4 minutes.
It is way high, and it is traveling in a straight line in a continuous move.
Paul Montibovi said what the people were seeing was the reflection of the sunlight on the station's solar panels.
This equipment produces the many kilowatts of power required to keep the space station operating. And it seems that bright dot in the sky is huge. The panels alone cover 0.4 hectares. One of the sky watchers asked the others to predict what the crew members were doing overhead. That question remained unanswered, but people could find out what the space station would do in the coming week. For example, on the following Tuesday and Thursday, the station deployed microsatellites, known as NanoRacks CubeSats. These devices are supposed to increase scientific observation of the Earth. Another goal for the ISS is to learn the effects of space on human bodies. Crew members tested those effects on their mental abilities and organs, including the heart and bones. Another experiment is meant to increase our understanding of protein structure and how proteins operate. Improved understanding of proteins might someday provide treatment for several currently incurable conditions. It was a comet, not a space station, that got Paul Montebovi interested in amateur astronomy in 1997. The comet Hale-Bopp had been discovered just 2 years earlier. Some people say it was the brightest comet in history. He remembered the event.
Had heard about comets, but never thought that I would be able to see one. And a neighbor came by and said, "Hey, let's go see the comet. I hear it's out tonight." And I had a breathtaking view.
That experience led him to join the Northern Virginia Astronomy Club. Recently, another club member told him that NASA provides information about the times and places when people can see the ISS. Mr. Montebovi is among about 85,000 people who have asked for that information. Now he asks neighbors to join him for sightings when he thinks the ISS would be easiest to see.
And we have neighbors who have some young children who are real space cadets. They love anything to do with the night sky. So I sent it to them, and then I thought, gee whiz, maybe it would be fun to have the rest of the neighborhood become aware of it.
NASA's Mission Control provides the details about where it is possible to see the International Space Station in 4,600 places around the world. You can ask to receive an email telling you when you can expect to see the ISS near home. If your community is not on the list, choose a place that is close. For more information, go to spotthestation.nasa.gov.
When we are not looking up at the night sky, we Americans often spend our free time by reading books. According to the New York Times newspaper, the most popular fiction book in the United States is Missing You. It was written by Harlan Coben. It is the story of Kate Donovan, a New York police detective who searches for the lover who left her years before. The number one nonfiction book is 12 Years a Slave by Solomon Northup. The story was first published in 1853. It tells of a free man who was kidnapped and sold into slavery and spent 12 years in bondage before escaping. The book was made into an award-winning movie. Well, it's time for us to move aside so you can hear some more Learning English programs. And if you want to find out more about what is happening in our world,
there is a complete news broadcast at the beginning of the hour. Let's get together again tomorrow, right here on VOA. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington.
The Agriculture Report is next, followed by Science in the News. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Agriculture Report. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says Africa has more food security problems than any other continent. Representatives of more than 50 countries gathered in the Tunisian capital, Tunis, last month for the agency's 28th yearly conference on Africa. The meeting ended with a renewed promise of support for food security and continuing development. The FAO says Africa has had strong economic growth in recent years. But, it says, the continent continues to suffer from low agricultural productivity, low incomes in rural areas, and high rates of malnutrition. Still, the agency says the situation has improved in some areas, including increased production of basic crops. It says farmers are growing better kinds of bananas in eastern and central Africa. And it says they are planting maize that produces more crops in a hectare. Farmers are also growing more cotton, teas, and flowers. But the FAO says all of that is not enough for the growing population. Bukar Tijani is the Assistant Director General of the agency. He says the agency wants to help increase investment in small farms, many of which are controlled by women. And he says he wants to help bring young people into farming.
The theme of the conference itself is really to support youth in different endeavors of agriculture. That is crops, livestock, fishery, forest products, and the value chain activities related to it, including technologies, communication, ICT, everything that could attract youth into it because it's big monies.
The FAO says agricultural production in African countries has increased less than 1% every year compared to 2% in other developing countries. Mr. Tijani says the FAO and its members should help African countries create a dependable, solid agricultural system. He says this means young people must become farmers.
The future of Africa or any generation lies in the youth, and that is why I'm calling on youth to come into agribusiness so that you can have employment generation, wealth creation, incomes within agriculture across Africa.
To improve food security, six countries signed agreements with the FAO. They will receive $2 million each from the Africa Solidarity Trust Fund. The nations are Central African Republic, Ethiopia, Malawi, Mali, Niger, and South Sudan. And that's the VOA Learning English Agriculture Report. I'm Katie Weaver.
From VOA Learning English, this is Science in the News. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. Scientists who study the Earth tell us the continents and ocean floors are always moving. This movement sometimes can be violent, causing death and destruction. Today, we examine what causes earthquakes and volcanic activity.
The first pictures of Earth taken from space showed a solid ball covered by brown and green land masses and blue-green oceans. It appeared as if the Earth had always looked that way, and always would. Yet the surface of the Earth is not as solid or as permanent as had been thought. Scientists found that the surface of our planet is always in motion. Continents move about the Earth like huge ships at sea, floating on pieces of the Earth's outer skin, or crust. New crust is created as melted rock pushes up from inside the planet. Old crust is destroyed as it moves toward the hot rock and melts.
In the 20th century, scientists began to understand that the Earth is a great, living and moving structure. Some experts say this understanding is one of the most important revolutions in scientific thought. The knowledge of the Earth's continual motion is based on the work of scientists who study the movement of the continents. This process is called plate tectonics. Earthquakes and volcanic activity are a result of that process.
Scientists say the surface of the Earth is cracked, like a huge eggshell. They call these pieces tectonic plates. As many as 20 such plates cover the Earth. They sometimes hit each other, and sometimes move away from each other. Because some continents are above two plates, the continents move when the plates do.
The movement of tectonic plates can cause earthquakes and volcanoes. Understanding this movement can help predict where earthquakes will take place. Research shows that about 90% of all earthquakes happen along a few lines in several places around the Earth. These lines follow underwater mountains, where hot liquid rock flows up from deep inside the Earth. Sometimes the melted rock comes out with a great burst of pressure. This forces apart pieces of the Earth's surface in a violent earthquake. Some earthquakes take place at the edges of continents. Pressure increases as two plates move against each other. When this happens, one plate moves past the other, suddenly causing the Earth's surface to split open.
One example of this pressure is found on the west coast of the United States. Part of California is on what is known as the Pacific Plate. The other part of the state is on what is known as the North American Plate. Scientists say the Pacific Plate is moving toward the northwest, while the North American Plate is moving toward the southeast. These two huge plates come together at what is called a fault line. This line between the plates in California is called the San Andreas Fault. It is along or near this fault line that most of California's earthquakes take place, as the two tectonic plates move in different directions. The city of Los Angeles is about 50 kilometers from the San Andreas Fault. Many smaller fault lines can be found throughout the Los Angeles area.
Scientists began making major discoveries about plate tectonics in the 20th century. One of those scientists was Alfred Wegener of Germany. 100 years ago, he proposed that the continents had moved and were still moving. Mr. Wegener said the idea came to him when he saw that the coasts of South America and Africa fit together like two pieces of a puzzle. He suspected that the two continents might have once been one and then split apart. He believed the continents had once been part of a huge area of land that he called Pangaea. He said the huge continent had split more than 200 million years ago. And he said the pieces were still floating apart.
Alfred Wegener investigated the idea that continents move. He noted that a line of mountains that appears from east to west in South Africa looks almost exactly the same as a line of mountains in Argentina, on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. He found fossil remains of the same plant in parts of Africa, South America, India, Australia, and even Antarctica. Mr. Wegener said the mountains and fossils were evidence that all the land on Earth was united at some time in the distant past.
Mr. Wegener also noted differences between the continents and the ocean floor. He said the oceans were more than just low places that had filled with water. Even if the water was removed, he said, a person would still see differences between the continents and the ocean floor. Also, the continents and the ocean floor are not made of the same kind of rock. The continents are made of a granite-like rock. Granite is made when hot, liquid rock cools and hardens under the Earth's surface. The ocean floor is basalt rock, a mixture of silicon and magnesium. The German scientist said the lighter continental rock floated up through the heavier basalt rock of the ocean floor.
Support for Mr. Wegener's ideas did not come until the 1950s. Two American scientists found that the continents moved as new seafloor was created under the Atlantic Ocean. Harry Hess and Robert Dietz said a thin valley in the Atlantic was a place where the ocean floor splits. They said hot, melted material flows up from deep inside the Earth through the split. As the hot material reaches the ocean floor, it spreads out, cools, and hardens. It becomes new ocean floor. The Americans proposed that the floor of the Atlantic Ocean is moving away from each side of the split and expanding. The movement is very slow, a few centimeters a year. In time, they said, the moving ocean floor is blocked when it comes up against the edge of a continent. Then it is forced down under the continent, deep into the earth, where it is melted again. Harry Hess said the Pacific Ocean was getting smaller. He and Robert Dietz said this spreading does not make the Earth bigger. As new ocean floor is created, an equal amount is destroyed.
The two scientists said Alfred Wegener was correct. The continents do move as new material from the center of the Earth rises, hardens, and pushes older pieces of the Earth away from each other. They called their theory seafloor spreading. The theory explains that as the seafloor spreads, the tectonic plates are pushed and pulled in different directions.
Thank you.
research also supports Wegner's ideas. Scientists in Britain recently reported that large amounts of water may be trapped under the ocean plates near northern Japan. Their findings were published in the journal Geology. A strong earthquake hit Japan in March of 2011. The quake and resulting tsunami waves killed almost 16,000 people. A team of researchers from the University of Liverpool studied the tectonic plates in the area where the earthquake took place. Their report says that when two plates meet, one may bend and end up underneath the other. During this process, it says, ocean water gets trapped below the plates and goes down past the Earth's crust to its mantle. The researchers said a large hole lies near the fault lines in Japan. They said the hole could be as much as 150 kilometers deep. Water gets carried down the hole. The report says there could be 3.5 times more water in the Earth's mantle than there is in all the oceans.
The idea of plate tectonics explains both volcanoes and earthquakes. Many of the world's volcanoes are found at the edges of plates. The large number of volcanoes around the Pacific plate has earned this area the name Ring of Fire. Volcanoes are also found in the middle of plates, where there is a well of melted rock. Scientists call these wells hot spots. A hot spot does not move. However, as the plate moves over it, a line of volcanoes is formed. The Hawaiian Islands were created in the Pacific Ocean as the plate moved slowly over a hot spot. This process is continuing as the plate continues to move.
Similar to earthquakes, volcanoes can cause destruction and displace populations. Because of this, scientists are also hoping to learn more about volcanic activity. Recently, the United States National Science Foundation provided financial support for research on volcanoes. Geoscientists from the University of Oregon and the University of California, Davis, studied Mount Hood in Oregon. The scientists say that volcanoes become active when the rock or magma inside becomes as hot as 750 degrees Celsius. The volcano becomes active when the hot magma from the Earth's crust rises and meets cooler solid magma. This can happen in as little as a few months' time. The American scientists believe the magma at Mount Hood had been stored in the volcano for at least 20,000 years, or even as long as 100,000 years. They say that modern technology should be able to sense when the magma is getting warmer and could possibly explode. This could prevent disasters when volcanoes erupt around the world. This Science in the News was written by Kim Varzi and Christopher Cruz. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. Join us again next week for more news about science on The Voice of America.